Welcome to the sermon podcast of Paley Presbyterian Church. The following sermon is by Pastor Becca Bruner. Our vision at Paley Presbyterian Church is that we are ending relational poverty. We're doing everything we can to connect everybody in transforming relationship with God through Jesus Christ and authentic relationship with one another. And there are a lot of things that we're doing as a community to fulfill that vision. We have worship, we've got small groups, we've got adult education and youth group and kids Sunday school. All of these are directed toward that effort of ending relational poverty. Or to put it in the positive, we're creating relational connection and vitality between us and God, between us and one another. So we're preaching this fall on these passages we see in the New Testament that use that Greek phrase, allelon, one another, learning practically, tangibly, how we live in relationship with God in one another in life-giving ways. And the passage we're looking at today, it is so central. It's so important. It's what we do in the community of faith that no other group out there does. No club, no counselor, no support group does this. Here in the community of faith, we pray for one another. We lift one another up to the throne of grace. Nothing is more central to the pursuit of ending relational poverty than this. We pray for one another. New Testament has a lot to say about prayer, but I want us to today to focus in on this story that we just heard read from the Gospel of Mark. This story of this paralyzed man being healed by Jesus. This is a story about some really incredible friends who brought their friend to Jesus. This is a story about a really brave guy who allowed himself to be brought to Jesus. This is a story about people who came to Jesus expecting him and asking him to do just this one thing. And this is a story about a God who hears what we ask, who sees what we need, and is able to provide for all of it. Though you may not see it on the surface at first, really this is a story about prayer. Because prayer, really at its most basic level, is simply bringing people to Jesus. Prayer is allowing ourselves to be brought to Jesus. And that's what the people in this story did. So as we dig a little deeper into this story and also that wonderful passage we heard from James, as we allow these words to teach us more about prayer, I want us to think about three things. I want us to think about the reason we are to pray for one another, the practice of praying for one another, and the result of our praying for one another. The reason, the practice, and the result. So let's jump in together. First, the reason we pray for one another, why we do this. Not we here at that Paley Presbyterian Church, certainly, but also we as the entire Christian body, why we pray for one another. And on one hand, we do it because the Bible tells us to. That's what we heard from James. He gives us these instructions. He says, call for the elders of the church and have them pray over them. He says, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. We pray for one another because the Bible tells us to. But there's a reason behind that reason. The Bible tells us to pray for one another. Jesus and James, rather, commands us to pray for one another, not because God needs our prayers, but rather because we need them. Think about it in terms of this story we just heard read about this paralyzed man. I want you to just picture with me for a moment what his life was like. What it would be like to be a paralytic in the ancient world. I mean, he kind of lived his whole life sitting or laying on this mat, this 3 foot by 6 foot wide long mat. Somebody has to feed him. Somebody has to clothe him. Somebody has to carry him, move him around, keep him from getting bed sores. Someone has to clean him when he soils himself. He will never know that sense of independence that we prize so fiercely. As far as we can tell, nothing can be done for him medically. There's no surgery that's going to heal him, no rehab program, no treatment center. There is no way for him to contribute to society. Anyone in this man's condition has to go through life as a beggar. That's all he's got. Lay beside the side of the road, be dependent on people to drop coins for him to live another day. He has no money, no job, no influence, no family, and seemingly no future. So what does he have? Well, in short, he's got friends. He's got some really amazing friends. He is in one of probably the best small groups of all time. In one sense, this story, it all takes place because of these friends. Without them, this guy would have never made it to Jesus. Without them, he never gets healed. Without them, he never gets forgiven. All the good things that happen in this story flow out of this choice that these friends make. And the choice that they make is, well, they meet him on his mat. They meet his on his mat. Remember that mat? This mat that, for all intents and purposes, should have created a gulf between him and them. This 3 foot by 6 foot mat, it symbolized all that stood between them, the social stigma, the financial pressures, the high cost of time and energy, not to mention his own feelings of grief and shame. All that should have stood between them became instead this bridge that connected them one to another. Here's the thing. We have all got a mat. Wherever you are, I want you to just do me a little silly favor here for a second. Turn to whoever you're sitting with, whoever might be watching this video with you, and just look at them and tell them, you've got a mat. Did you do it? Do it back. You have got a mat. I have got a mat. We have all got a mat, so we might as well admit it. Let this mat stand as a picture of human brokenness and imperfection. All of our fears and frailties, all our grief and shame, our failing marriages, our estranged kids, our coworker conflict, our financial meltdowns, emotional breakdowns, and worlds turned upside down by sickness and surgery, disease and death. Everybody's got a mat. But I wonder how many of us actually let anybody else see our mat? How many of us let anybody meet us on our mat? You know, a lot of us spend a lot of time doing what we might call mat management. And we pretend we don't have a mat. We appear healthy and strong, so the people around us assume that, well, we could walk anywhere if we wanted to. And now we can see other people's mats, but we never reveal our own. The primary goal is to hide our brokenness from other people's eyes. If this is you, you might have gotten really, really good at hiding your mat. But I gotta tell you, this hiding comes at a very steep cost. There's a book I read a couple years ago by a guy named Will Miller. book is titled Refrigerator Rights. And in it, this author writes, he says, if you talk to any therapist today, problems we see are mostly mood disorders, depression, anxiety, loneliness, social detachment. As blessed as we are as Americans, as prosperous as we are, there's all this depression, so where's it coming from? I'm convinced it's rooted in the loss of refrigerator rights, relationships. Person with refrigerator rights, he goes on to explain, is somebody who can come into your home and feel so comfortable with their relationship with you that they can walk right into your kitchen, open the refrigerator, pull out what they need, and make a sandwich. And too many Americans suffer, he says, emotionally, because they have too few of these kinds of relationships. We don't do that much, do we? We don't allow one another into our refrigerators. And we don't allow one another into our lives. We don't invite one another onto our mats. And in the end, we're the ones who end up suffering for it. So that's the reason we come together and we pray for one another, because the reality is we have all got a mat. We've all got one, and it's hurting us to keep them hidden. I think Jesus wants to heal that pain. So we want to do everything we can to offer everyone the opportunity to be met on their mat. So that's the reason we pray for one another. The next thing I want to talk about is the practice. How do we do it? Back to the story. This group of friends, they likely spent a lot of time caring for this paralyzed man, right? They cooked his meals, they listened to him, they encouraged him, all of these really, really good things. But you know and I know that there are some needs that run so deep. There's some problems so severe that only God can provide what's really needed. Only prayer can make the difference. Richard Foster, in his book entitled Prayer, writes this. He says, if we truly love people, we will desire for them far more than it is within our power to give them. And this will lead us to prayer. So we see this in the story of these friends. This practice of prayer, it's very, very simple. Prayer is simply bringing people to Jesus. That's what they did. They heard that Jesus was coming around. They'd certainly heard of his power to heal, and surely then Jesus could help their friend in ways that they never could. And so they brought him to Jesus. To hear in that reading from James, he referenced something called the prayer of faith. It says, the prayer of faith will save the sick. Now, let's be clear. The prayer of faith does not mean not having any doubts. All of us pray with a certain mixture of faith and doubt. All of us. That's normal. If we get a good look of what the prayer of faith is when we look at these friends, I am quite sure they had a very high mixture of faith and doubt, of fear and what ifs. But even in the midst of that fear and doubt, they brought their friend to Jesus. So sometimes for us, that means that we go into a situation and we pray, Lord, I don't know what to ask. But I trust you to do whatever you think is right. Sometimes it can mean praying more specifically. Even in the midst of our uncertainties, we can say, Lord, I don't know if this is your will, but I'm going to ask. Heal this illness. Give him a job. Reconcile these two and restore their marriage. Break the chains of this addiction. Grant her peace that passes understanding. Take him home to be with you. This is the practice of prayer, simply bringing people to Jesus and trusting him to work. And work? Well, that is what Jesus does best. When we pray for one another, when we meet each other on our mats, and when we bring one another to Jesus, we see some amazing results. When we pray for one another, incredible things happen. For Jesus can do for us and for our friends far more than we ever dream to ask. These guys, they brought their paralyzed friend to Jesus, and they thought they were dreaming pretty big, right? They were asking Jesus to heal his paralyzed legs. But Jesus' vision was even bigger. See, Jesus knew what they wanted, but Jesus also knew. He knew what this man truly needed. And so he looked at him and he said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Jesus looked at him and he knew how long he had waited to hear those words, "Son, God's not angry with you. God loves you. God is with you. Your sins are forgiven." And Jesus doesn't stop there. Almost as a confirmation of the miracle that has taken place in this man's heart, Jesus goes on. See, this man had been set free in his soul through this gift of forgiveness that Jesus had given. And now Jesus makes that freedom visible for everybody to see as he tells him, "Stand up. Take your mat and go home." "Stand up," Jesus said, "and take this mat which had once been a symbol of his shame now becomes a badge of honor. Take your mat and walk home. Hold it up for the world to see that now you are free." And that's exactly what he did. And I just picture him proudly strutting through that crowd and along those city streets, proclaiming for the world to hear, "You see this mat?" He'd say, "I used to be trapped on this mat. I used to feel alone and unloved and unworthy on this mat, but not anymore. Because I saw Jesus on this mat, and Jesus set me free from this mat, and he can do the same thing for you." That's what happens when we pray. Make no mistake, our prayers are powerful. Think of prayer as this extension cord that connects the transforming power of God to the people and places where there's sickness and brokenness, injustice, grief, and pain. When we lift others up in prayer, we connect them to the power of God. We give God the chance to reach them, to save them, to heal them, to bless them. It is the greatest thing we can do for any other human being, to connect them to the power of God. The American preacher R.A. Torrey puts it this way. He says, "Prayer is the key that unlocks all the storehouses of God's infinite grace and power. All that God is and all that God has is at the disposal of prayer." All that God is, all that God has at the disposal of prayer. Our prayers, through our prayers for one another, Jesus mends broken bodies, he heals broken relationships, and he makes our broken hearts whole. I can think of no better result than that. Why do we pray for one another? Because we have got to meet one another on our mats. How do we pray? Well, we bring one another to Jesus. And what happens when we pray? Well, we get to see Jesus do what only Jesus can do. So all that's left now, friends, is for us to do what the Bible says, to pray, to bring people to Jesus, to allow ourselves to be brought to Jesus. So here's what we're going to do this week, if you are so inclined. Here is our one another practice that I'd like to invite you to participate with us in this week. It's two parts this week. One, bring one person to Jesus in prayer. Think of one person that you can pray for consistently this week. It may be for something specific going on in their life that you know about. You know, maybe they're sick, they're struggling, they're out of work, something's going on that they just need God's help and God's healing. Or maybe somebody comes to mind that you feel kind of drawn to pray for, but you don't know why. You don't really know what's going on in their lives, but you feel like you ought to be praying for them. Doesn't matter. Jesus knows. Jesus knows what's going on in their life. Jesus knows what they need. And so you can just simply pray for them, lift them up. Whatever it is, just commit to praying for one person consistently this week. You can do that privately, or you can tell them that you're praying for them. Your choice. You know, I don't think anybody minds being prayed for, but that's up to you. And if you're comfortable with it, you can not only pray for them, but if you think they would be receptive to it, you could also offer to pray with them, to offer a simple prayer in person or on the phone or on Zoom, however you can be connected. You can offer that prayer with them, going to Jesus together as you do. But that's part one of our practice. Bring somebody to Jesus this week. And then part two is allow yourself to be brought to Jesus in prayer. This is where it gets a little bit harder. This is where we have to allow somebody to see and meet us on our mat. But I want to challenge you to do it. And I'll do it too. Again, think of somebody in your life whom you feel comfortable asking to pray for you. And again, it could be for something specific. There could be something going on in your life that you say, hey, can you pray for me about this specific thing? But if you don't have a thing, you can simply say, hey, can you just pray for me this week? Ask them to bring you to Jesus. Now, these two people, or they come to mind, the person you're bringing to Jesus and the person that's bringing you to Jesus, it could be actually the same person. Traditionally, kind of, there's a name for that. It's called having a prayer partner, somebody that you're praying for and somebody that's praying for you in kind of a reciprocal relationship. If you have that, if it can be the same person, great. But it doesn't have to. You can have somebody you're praying for over here, and you can have somebody who's praying for you over here, however it works. How you do it is not so important as that you do it. The most important part of prayer is simply that we pray. Pray about what's on your mat. Pray about the real stuff in your life. Bring it all to Jesus. And together, we're going to get to see Jesus do what Jesus does best as we pray for one another.